So many Christians wonder why God is not moving. Because of compromise.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about why believers need to stop making concessions when it comes to clear biblical principles.
Once you do that, the God who is for you can no longer be for you.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. The world says love means approving of practically everything other people think or do. But Dr. Evans reminds us that a little thing called truth still needs to be taken into consideration. He'll look at Revelation 2:12 today as he explains.
Let me tell you a little bit about Pergamum. Pergamum was a city some 45 miles north of Ephesus and then Smyrna, the two churches we've already seen. A very wealthy city, but a city controlled by the devil. We'll talk about that in a moment. A very progressive city, a very noted city, a city run by hell. Jesus starts and he speaks. The first and the last, which he said about himself in Smyrna, now says in verse 12, the one who has the sharp two-edged sword says this. The one who has the sharp two-edged sword says this. The one who has the sharp two-edged sword says this. So Jesus Christ is talking, but he describes himself as the possessor of the two-edged sword. This is not the first time we've seen that phrase. Chapter 1, verse 16 of Revelation. In his right hand, he held the seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. In chapter 19 of Revelation, verse 15, from his mouth came a sharp sword. Verse 21, and the rest were killed with the sword which came from his mouth. It says, out of the Lord Jesus Christ's mouth comes a very sharp, two-edged sword. You must change your view of Jesus. I know we've got Christmas, but we got to leave that manger. That's nice and sweet for lights on your house and, nativity scenes on your lawn and, nice Christmas programs. Nothing wrong with any of that. But Jesus wants you to know, if you stuck on that baby in the manger, you're missing him. This is spoken by the risen Christ after he rose from the dead and ascended up to heaven. And now he speaks back to his church, not as a baby in a manger, nor as a man walking the streets of Galilee, but now as the risen Lord, and he says, how I'm operating right now is with a sharp sword with double edges coming out of my mouth. So this is not baby Jesus, meek and mild. This is serious Jesus, you better pay attention. The sword has two edges. Both sides are sharp. That can cut you going and coming. It's sharp for blessings and it's sharp for judgment. It's sharp for help, but it's sharp for correction. It's sharp for your benefit, but it's also sharp to deal with you if you need to be dealt with. You speak with a double edge, with both sides. They didn't have guns and pistols and bullets back then. They had swords. That sword was used for protection. It was also used for advancing against an enemy. And to possess the sword was a phrase of having the authority. In Romans chapter 13, it says that the king does not wield the sword in vain. That speaks of his authority to judge. So when you read about Jesus having the sword, he is speaking about the authority. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus says, all authority belongs to me in heaven and on earth. Translation, I'm in charge now. A criminal may have a gun. That means he has power. But he does not have legitimate authority because of how he's using it. A legitimate policeman also has a gun, but he also has a badge. In other words, legitimate authority to use the weapon. In football, the players are younger, stronger, and faster. The refs are older, slower, and fatter. The players can knock you down. The refs can put you out. Because while the players have power, the refs have authority. Yellow flag, whistle, they can shut this thing down. Even though outnumbered, they possess authority. So when Jesus says, a sword is coming out of my mouth, he is laying claim to authority from heaven to history, from eternity to time, from heaven to earth. So Jesus Christ sits as the risen Lord ascended on the right hand of the Father, speaking to his people, the church at Pergamum, and he says, I'm in charge here. And I have a sword. Where is the sword? It's coming out of my mouth. Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is piercing and penetrating in its ability and power to affect change for good or for judgment. Now, the problem today is that we, and by we I mean even many Christians, have lost faith in the power of the sword that comes out of Jesus' mouth. We have lost faith in the power of the word. Oh, we respect it because we'll carry it under our arms or punch it in on our device. We pay homage to it while simultaneously ripping it from its authority. Jesus says, when my mouth speaks my word, it's sharp. And anything sharp will cut you. So if you're uncut by the word of God, you're not using what's coming out of his mouth. If you can go day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and not be cut, then what he's doing and what you're doing can't be the same thing. Because he says, what's coming out of my mouth is sharp. But because today Christians in particular, and certainly the society at large, has lost confidence in God's word, they are going to every other word. They may sprinkle a little Bible on it to make it sound good, but they're going to every other word, and they're wondering why the word is not working, because the word that works must be the word coming out of his mouth, not the word coming out of your mouth. If you were a broken person in some form or fashion, you come to me, my life is broken. What I'm going to do is I'm going to seek to take this word, try to show its relevancy to your situation, and explain that if you apply it, it has the capacity to cut you deep enough like a doctor's scalpel to make you better. That's how I'm going to approach if you come to me with a shattered personal life. If you come to me with a shattered family life, me and my mate are not getting along, me and my children are at each other's throat, I'm going to take this same word that I use with the individual, and we're going to discuss your family. We're going to talk about what the word says about who should do what and how they should do it, with the understanding that if it is acted upon, it's going to cut something and change something because it is sharp. If you come to me as leaders of the church because the church is in confusion or chaos or division or whatever, I'm going to take the same word that I use with the individual and with the family. I'm going to see what the Bible says about how the church should function and how we need to correct whatever the issues are. And if applied, assume that if the word is coming out of his mouth, The leadership is going to be cut. I'm going to be cut. We're going to be cut. And things will get corrected because this sword is sharp. If you were the president or the Congress and you came to me, I'm not changing books. I'm not all of a sudden going to shift the book and say, well, the book that worked for the individual, the book that worked for the family, and the book that worked for the church is an irrelevant book for the country and the culture. But see, what we have today are folk changing books or dumbing down the book to please other books, dulling the sword from being able to cut anything. He says, the sword from my mouth is sharp. And if you're uncut, it can't be coming from my mouth. You follow the logic? If you're unaffected, unchanged, because the way you know you're affected is you're changing. So if there's no change, you've not been affected, no matter how much you enjoy the word you heard. Because if you cut, you bleed. He says to the church at Pergamum, the sword that comes out of my mouth, my word, is sharp. It cuts. It has authority. Having said that, he now commends them in verse 14. I know where you dwell. I know where you live. I know where you have church. I know the community you're in. He says that to Pergamum Bible Fellowship. I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast my name and did not deny my faith even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one who was killed among you where Satan dwells. Pergamum was the Washington, D.C. of Satanism. He says, where the throne of Satan is. The throne of Satan, he says, is in Pergamum. So the devil's headquarters, because a throne is where you rule from. So the devil's headquarters was in Pergamum. In Pergamum was Pergamum Bible Fellowship, was the church there. And it was sitting right in the midst of hell, because Satan was owning the location. We have not yet reached that point in America, but I can assure you that's the direction we are heading. It may not be the seat yet, but it's one of the colonies.
Dr. Evans will share a troubling observation when he continues our message in just a moment. First, though, we're working our way through Tony's current series, The Jesus Challenge. It's an important look at what the Lord had to say in the first three chapters of Revelation to the seven churches and to us. These eight lessons will teach you how to set higher standards, deepen your convictions, reinforce your faithfulness, and live like an overcomer. And they can be yours as our thank you gift when you make a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Along with the messages on both CDs and as instant downloads, we'll include two special bonuses, the Jesus Challenge Bible Study Guide and DVD Introduction by Tony for each of the sessions it contains. Now, time is running out, so don't wait. Visit TonyEvans.org today to make the arrangements or call us at 1-800-800-3222, where members of our resource team are available day and night to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, Dr. Evans will be back right after this.
Impactful, amazing, intense, thought-provoking. That's how just a few students describe their experience since enrolling in the Tony Evans Training Center. The best part is, the Training Center is wherever you and your online connection are. Going beyond a Sunday sermon, these compelling Bible study courses take a much deeper look at Scripture, the Bible's writers, social issues of today, and so much more. Log on today to learn more at TonyEvansTraining.org. TonyEvansTraining.org. Explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere.
Those of you who were growing up in my generation knows what it's like to have a culture that respected your faith as a Christian, even if they didn't agree with it. They There was just a respect for the Christian faith and for Jesus Christ. The children that are growing up today are growing up in an environment where there is not only a rejection, there is a hatred. Not for the name God, because that can be very vague, but a hatred for what he calls my name. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And so as God is kicked out of the classrooms, nativity scenes are removed off the lawn, and God's word is removed from the courtroom, and over and over again, as kids are not allowed to pray in front of football games, as you're seeing this onslaught of the rejection of the Christian faith, as it now becomes, to be a Christian and to hold his word is now being called hate speech. And so he writes this church telling them, I recognize what you're going through and that you're seeking to be Christian in a realm of Caesar worship, of Zeus worship, because they had temples to all these false gods as well as the government, Caesar. But now he comes to verse 14. He says, but I have a few things against you. Okay, now I like the fact that you're still claiming me, you're claiming my name, you're claiming Christianity in a hostile environment, but I have a problem. He says, here's my problem. While you still claim me, you compromise. You still will say I'm a Christian, but you will tolerate compromise. So the issue with this church is a lack of conviction. Now you will compromise like Balaam. Balaam is a prophet. Israel is on the march. Balak, who's the king of Moab, he's a little scared because Israel's gotten so large and so powerful, he's got to do something. So Balak says, Balaam, I want you to curse God's people. And we're going to give you some change to do it. Balaam consults with God, and God tells him, you can't curse my people, they're my people. Balak ups the price. Said, we'll pay you a little more if you will curse God's people. Balaam gets on a donkey. Balaam is riding this donkey to meet with Balak. On the way, the angel of the Lord stands in front of the donkey. So the donkey starts backing up. Balaam hits the donkey. Says, giddy up, because Balaam doesn't see the angel of the Lord. He just sees the donkey's backing up. Wham! It says the donkey sees the angel of the Lord again and moves over to the side. Balaam, wham, whacks it. Get going. Donkey gets going again, sees the angel of the Lord, then falls down. Okay? Balaam whacks it for a third time. This time, the donkey is tired of getting hit. So according to Numbers chapter 22, the donkey looks back at Balaam and says, why you keep hitting me? So we got a talking donkey. All right? It gets even worse because Balaam talks back to the donkey. Why you not taking me where I need to go? Then all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord appears to Balaam. It says, God was behind this. Balaam can't curse the people of God. God keeps blocking the curse. So Balaam tells Balak, I'm not going to be able to curse him. I know you offer me a lot of money, but God's blocking this thing. So if you want to get him, here's how you got to get Israel. Make them compromise. It says, intermix them with your women. Get them to marry. They will adopt your gods. If you will just get them to compromise, then God will curse them for you. I can't curse them because they're God's people. But God's character can't stand compromise. So if we can get them to compromise, because God's character won't accept compromise, God himself will do for you what you're asking me to do that I can't do. God will interject because God won't accept compromise. And so that's exactly what Balak did. He got them to intermarry, interconnect. He calls it immorality, leading to idolatry, which brought God's judgment on Israel. So that God was no longer operating for the people. God's word, a sharp two-edged sword, is there to cut. To cut on your behalf and against that which is against you. But God's word will not cut when it's been dulled by compromise. So you can worship all day, say I love Jesus all day, but when you compromise biblical values, when you compromise biblical truth in order to be popular in the culture, you might get acceptance from the culture, but what you won't get is a two-edged sword for you. So many Christians wonder why God is not moving. Because of compromise. You compromise spiritual value. You compromise with other gods. You compromise. We compromise with lifestyle. We compromise in so many ways. Well, you need to understand, once you do that, the God who is for you can no longer be for you. The God of the Bible does not accept compromise on biblical principle, not preferences, principle.
If there's one principle the Bible makes abundantly clear, it's this. There's no way to heaven except through God's forgiveness of our sins because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. But what if you need so much forgiveness that you feel like you're too far gone for faith? Well, here's Dr. Evans with some good news for you.
Guess what? You are a perfect candidate for salvation. Jesus said that he didn't come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance and salvation. So if you're a big sinner, you've got a bigger Savior. If you go to Jesus Christ now, carry the boatload of sins with you to the cross, acknowledge him to be your Savior, acknowledge your sins needing to be forgiven, and trust him to do the forgiving that you desperately desire. He promises he will forgive you, give you eternal life, and offer you the free gift of salvation. I don't care how big your basket of sins are, carry them to Jesus. He's ready to empty them for you.
Find out more about what it means to be a real Christian. Visit TonyEvans.org and click on the link that simply says Jesus. There, Tony will explain everything you need to know, and you can find some free resources to get your new life started right. And while you're there, a quick reminder, you can get the special package of resources we put together to help you deepen your devotion and strengthen the courage of your convictions. It starts with all 8 full-length messages in our current series, The Jesus Challenge. It also includes a DVD with custom content by Tony and an in-depth study guide you can use on your own or with your group to unlock the insights packed into what Jesus said in the first 3 chapters of Revelation. You can download all the messages for immediate review, even while the CDs, DVD, and study guide are sent your way, with our thanks for your contribution in support of Tony's ministry. This offer runs out next week, so don't wait. Visit TonyEvans.org today and request the Jesus Challenge study package. That's TonyEvans.org. Or call us at 1-800-800-3222. Members of our resource team are on hand day and night to help with your request. That's 1-800-800-3222. On Monday, more from Dr. Evans on the damage that's done when churches and individuals treat truth like nothing more than a matter of opinion. Be sure to join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.